Yeah, we were, when we came up yesterday, it's funny, I remember, here in Northfield, we came to the Lord when the ministry was kind of young, here in Northfield. Robin, I think, actually owned the house here that Steve's now living in, at the time. And, you know, it brought back a number of memories for me. So I'm always glad to come home here to Vermont. Coming up, as I was driving along in my smoking 3500 Chevy pickup, I thought I might should get a radar detector because it was a nice day and we were listening to music. And if I didn't have a speed control, I probably would have got here an hour earlier, because going 90 was real easy. I mean, I live in Connecticut, as many people know now, and the roads down there are like horrible. And I don't know that there's any state in the country that has failed more miserably to make their roads useful to people in automobiles. And up here on I-91, where the roadbeds are all made of the granite that they blasted out of the ledge, everything is still smooth. They're all probably 40 years old, and it still works good, even though you get a lot more frost up here than we do down there. So I was really very pleased to be on a road such as that, coming to a place such as this. And it's funny, I was, I knew Steve would ask me to preach, and so I had been praying during the week, and interestingly enough, many people that know me know I do a lot of praying in the car when I'm driving and stuff, because it's a place I'm alone, and I have some time to get with the Lord. And the subject of the prayer that I was involved in with the Lord this week had to do with what I believe we could probably call the great transgression. We hear a lot lately about the fear of the Lord and our complete inability to serve Him in any natural capacity. And those are words that people hear, but not everyone takes them to heart. And those words, if they're not digested in that process of faith, mostly in the quiet of your own prayer closet, in your own fellowship with the Lord, these teachings sound kind of like pebbles against a tank. The great transgression, the Lord showed me, I mean, it was actually kind of funny. It was kind of like a picture of me. I'm thinking, wow, that's not so good. I am the great transgressor. And, we begin to recognize, as Christ is formed in us, that we may have more problems with regard to sin than when we first came to the Lord, we recognized. And should we continue in the forward motion, walking by faith, we will come to find out that in terms of what we are damaged goods and good for nothing from the moment we draw breath. There is no thing that we can do, nothing within our natural reach that we can get a hold of that will free us from this situation. And natural people don't even know they're in this predicament. They operate, and this is kind of how the great transgression of self-interest gets built up in us. We start out as babies, and we want everything. And of course, mommy and daddy are quick to provide for a reward for all of our wants in as much as they're able. And we get to thinking pretty highly of ourselves. We can make a little bit of noise and get the things that we want. We can poop and mommy and daddy will come and clean us up. And as time goes on, depending upon who you are, and everybody's a little different this way, we learn more advanced skills in getting the things that we want. We learn to manipulate people, to control people, to use their emotions against them, to get our way by taking advantage of every situation. And the natural person essentially lives in a state where all that they are interested in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, probably even when they're sleeping, is figuring out how to have that want taken care of. What is the prayer? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The idea that there is a place because of Jesus where this can be redeemed and completely repaired is beyond the imagination, certainly of anyone who doesn't know that they have a problem. And as we bring people the gospel, very often, at least it was the case with me, it's easy to see that there are some problems with the way that I operate. When I first became a Christian, it was clear to me that there weren't many. And of course, a lot of other people had much bigger issues that they were tangled up with. And so it was easy for me to say, you know, I need this Jesus for these particular things, but most of what I got is pretty good. Right? I'm looking good. I talk pretty good. I got a pretty good job. I got a nice house. I mean, things are going pretty well. And I saw that Jesus was a lot better than all that stuff, but I still, in a lot of ways, didn't get what the problem was. The problem is always me. And the answer is always Jesus. And this is the thing that each of us individually has to get down inside of us in order to do real business with God Almighty. You want to be a part of what He's doing and you want to walk in His ways and you want to serve Him. The door to get into that place, and this is only the door, but the door is the recognition of the great transgression as it applies to you. Not as it applies to all of your brothers and sisters who are clearly in at least as bad a shape. Right? But we gotta get out of that mode. We gotta get into the mode where how is it that we can believe that God, once we recognize how very serious our problem is, and as our hearts beat on and time goes on, we get older, time gets shorter. So getting this all figured out gets more and more urgent as time marches on. That's that clock that the fear of God is kind of hooked on that clock in some ways and makes it so that the thing about it is, where we ought to be is in the place where if everything natural that makes us tick was gone in an instant, where are we? Where are we if we aren't with Him? If all we have is us and what we have to offer and the things we think are good, we are in a heck of a lot of trouble. Or should I say a hell of a lot of trouble. And to get into that place and actually walk in it is a daily practice. And for me, Lord knows I have not done it perfectly. But a big part of it, and I believe what the Lord would have me share today, is each of us ourselves has a responsibility to take this word into us and get it down to where the rubber meets the road with the Lord in our own prayer closet. Because just hearing it online, being at every Bible study, listening to everything everybody says, even being obedient, will not produce a relationship with Jesus Christ that the Scripture tells us is the only way that we are ever going to live in eternity. In the absence of that relationship, we have nothing when the clock stops ticking. And so all of the things that we teach and preach that seem so hard and difficult, that seem so caustic to our natural selves, to our carnal minds, to the ideas that we actually have something to offer. The reason we spend so much time helping one another and helping those who are without to tear that foolishness down is that if you don't, you're going to go to hell. The only way that you're not going to go to hell is if you take the word and get it together with the Lord in your prayer closet, in your own relationship with Him where the rubber meets the road, along with obedience and service and being a part of this body, such as you're able, then we should enter in. Absent those things, we have no assurance at all. And so I encourage everybody to take the time out of what I know for many of us are busy, difficult days. Take the time to seek the Lord's face in your own prayer closet, in whatever way you feel led. But build up your relationship with Him in any way that you can while you can, so that when your clock stops ticking, you can go home with Him.
Good morning, everybody. It happens to be another lovely day in Vermont. We didn't get all the rain that we thought we were going to. But we got enough to establish Stephen Megan's lovely new hydrangeas and then the sun to draw them upward. So that's a praise God. It's also drawing the grass upward. You know, to know that you're a sinner and recognize that that which Jesus did is the solution is the start. But the thing that moves us forward in that is actually faith. And faith is when you actually believe God. And in that belief of God, the things of the flesh are put off. Period. Now, it is a lifelong process to see the things of the flesh. And you can't put them off outside of faith. And what is that faith? Because we've all tried and we've all failed and we all hang out in our fleshly failures at times, none of which speaks of the knowledge and the stand in the victory that is for those who will believe. There was a couple things this week, and I'm going to actually read out of Isaiah 40. Because I am sure like others, you know scriptures and you think about them. And one that I thought about this week was a well-known one, which is Isaiah 40:31. But let me go up a little ways. I'll just start at 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is the picture of a person that has set their eyes upon the Lord and won't be moved and runs and does his will. Obedience. The obedience that bears fruit is that is done in faith. Now, to say that sometimes we obey because we know we're supposed to is a starting point, just like children. They'll know they have to obey because they know that the option the other side of the option ain't a good one. But it's not, you know, they have to come to that place, even as we do, where obedience is a faithful choice because of the knowledge of God that we walk in. Elijah, as a picture of somebody who you see this at work in, he had stood against the prophets of Baal, which I think were 400, and slew them. The only man who stood, and he had all of Israel there, not knowing which way to go, and you had Jezebel's prophets, and he stood, and he proved God, and then he slew them. And then comes the thing with the rain, and he's interacting with Ahab on this. Was it? Okay. But then Jezebel says she's going to get him, and he runs. And it really isn't funny, because that's what happens. You know, you can stand and you can do, and then there's a place where you can get tired. But you see, the Lord says that they that wait upon him shall renew their strength. And he came down to Elijah, and he fed him, and he watered him, so to speak, and he sent him on his way. He didn't come down and tell him what an idiot he was. He didn't do any of that. He just sustained Elijah, and so he will all that wait upon him. And when I think about this, and I see how the men or women of God work, Elijah called upon the Lord. You know, take me, Lord. I'm no better than my fathers. He wasn't speaking from a place of strength. He wasn't speaking from anything that we enjoy, so to speak. But the Lord just came down and renewed him, and he went forth. This is not something we can do in ourselves. But those who will set their affections upon the Lord and be about him and learn his ways and trust him, he who doesn't grow weary or faint, neither will we.
Well, I want to hit on something here. You know, faith worketh by love. If you want to get down to it, faith worketh by love. And love is a verb. It's not an adjective. You ever think about that for a moment? See, a lot of people think of love as an adjective. It's how I feel about you. It's how I feel about something. They see it as an adjective, which means it's then passive. You follow what I'm saying? It's passive. You know what I mean? But love is a verb. It means you do something. It means you are continuously doing something, because you're continuously looking not upon the things of yourself, but upon the things of others. You're continuously looking how you can minister unto another. Okay? It's a verb. All right? Now, in what Robin was reading here a moment ago, I want to show something, because we got some young people here who seem to be like, you know, that you wind them up and, you know, they're just running and stuff like that. But we got a lot of people who don't look like they're quite wound up like these young ones over here. I mean, am I right? I mean, I look out here, I don't see people who, like, they get up in the morning and, man, they are off to the races. Can I, oh, can I do this? Can I do that? Yeah. Do I? That's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing some folks who, maybe a little slow starting. Yep. Okay, now let's look back here at what Robin was reading. Okay, from 29. He giveth power to the faint. He giveth power to the faint. Anybody here ever feel faint?
Oh, yeah.
Now, see, the thing is that, but does he give you that power to do what you want to do? Or does he give you that power to do what he would have you do? Ah, now we come down to the heart of the matter about which way will we go. Okay, if we will go forward in him, if we will wait, that is, serve him, then we shall renew our strength. We shall run and not get weary. We shall walk and not grow faint. You follow what I'm saying? Now, as you get older and you are around older people, and the older people seem to start dying and start becoming weak and start not being able to do things, you have a rather bleak picture around you, don't you? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? All right. Well, you can minister unto others. But you know what? How can you minister unto others and show them that you don't have to be subject to all the stuff all your peers are subject to unless you yourself break free? You follow what I'm saying? You yourself break free, and as you break free, then others can see. How do you break free? You determine. I mean, you fight. You do not accept anything but the fullness of the promises of God. You refuse to accept defeat. What did we begin with? Making war in the heavenlies? You refuse to accept those things. And you step out by faith in Christ Jesus. And you go, look, I'm casting everything that would hold me back aside. I don't want any of that crap. It's been holding me back for ages. And you step out. And you start serving the Lord. And you start ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't do so with fear. You don't do so with fear. Look, I mean, a lot of times we're afraid. I mean, these are people we've known for ever, it seems. We honestly don't know what ever is, do we? I mean, 80 years old seems like forever to us. 51 years old seems like forever to us. And the thing is that we fear what other people will think of us in the process. And we don't want to lose them. We don't want to lose them. We're afraid that, well, if we say that, they're going to think I'm a kook. You know, what's gotten in you? Changed. Well, I hope to God I'm changed. That's what Scott was talking about, right? I mean, me, myself, and I can't do anything good. But in Christ Jesus, by contrast, all things are possible unto me. All things are possible. Am I going to believe that? Or am I going to believe the testimony of my flesh? Am I going to believe the testimony of all the people out here say, you can't? Which way am I going to be? If I'm going to believe this word, then I am going to fight to get what this word promises. I am going to want it, no matter what the cost. Because look at this. Watch 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Alright, yeah, okay, I can see where that applies out here. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Okay, so he's obviously not talking to the 18-year-olds or the 6-year-olds and stuff like that. I mean, he is in the sense that, hey, they think they have strength, they think they have this, they're going to get tired. He's talking to the older folks. Even the youth shall, but not you. We read last few weeks over on Sunday night when we have a Bible study with Carter and his mom and Scott and Gail and the like, we've been reading in Luke. And in Luke, it tells the story of, first of all, Simeon, who comes. And he had been promised that before he died, he would see the Lord's Christ. He would see the Lord's Christ. And he was old and ready to die. And you know what? How did it say he got there? He came by the Spirit. Now, if the Spirit of God has the power to raise Jesus up out of hell, from the dead, into heaven, you think he has the ability to get an old carcass walking around here someplace that he wants him to be? I would say yes. I would say yes. So Simeon came by the Spirit, and then he said, I've seen the Lord, I'm ready to die now. All right? He testified to Mary, to Joseph. I don't know how many other people heard it, but Mary and Joseph heard it. And he prophesied to them something that was going to be very important for Mary to remember during the life of her son, which was going to be a short life and not at all what she was expecting. But that word he spoke to her, she pondered it in her heart. She didn't get it. She didn't see the whole picture. But a word of an old man who came to the temple by the Spirit was critical to her. To her. More than anyone else. What, you mean God would send an old man to minister to one person? Amen. You're right, he would. And that word that he ministered would minister to her, not for a day, not for a week, but for years, for the rest of her life. And we say we can't do anything. I mean, come on, folks. Love is a verb. We need to step out. If we say we believe this, we need to step out and get that victory. We cannot continue to just be sorry and think that, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Yeah, you're a sinner saved by grace. Show it. Okay? Show it. I mean, look, it's an amazing thing. We have, as many of you know, we have a brother, Lawrence, who's from Ghana, who's over in Kenya right now. He's over in Kenya right now, and I know it's been like mind-boggling to these Kenyans. This one in particular I've been writing to. I mean, it's mind-boggling that we would actually send a man all the way to Kenya to minister to one, maybe two people. I mean, who does that? The Lord? Continuously. I mean, he went up to Sidon and Tyre to minister unto one woman whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. He sent Philip from a perfectly good revival down there in Samaria over to Gaza to meet one Ethiopian eunuch. And from that one time, Ethiopia had Christians in it from that day forward. Because of one Ethiopian eunuch who a man went to. But the key on this, and it's the same with each of you. See, somebody ministers the gospel to you. The purpose of that is not so you come hang out in our church. I hope you realize that that's not what it is. I'm not here to, for folks who aren't here, we're in my conference room, okay, of my law office. Now we can seat a fair number of people here. But you know what? Every church around Northfield is bigger than this one as far as room. For people to come to, right? Bigger. Now don't hear me wrong, I don't mean to say that the Lord could not have us meet somewhere other than my conference room. He could. And everything. But it's really, that's not what church is for. Church is not for, I minister the gospel to you and then you come and you hang out with me all the time. The gospel is, I minister the gospel to you, you receive it, and then you share it with others. You share it with others. That's what the gospel is. I mean, I talked to Lawrence's son. He's going over to Kenya. I asked him, well, what's your dad, what do you think about this thing? Oh, I think it's pretty cool. He's going over there to talk to people about the ministry. I said, do what? What in the hell are you talking about? I said, he's not going over there to talk to people about the ministry. Whoop-dee-doo. Talk to somebody about the ministry. Oh, we got a really cool ministry. That doesn't save anybody. That doesn't help anybody. That is worthless vanity, as though like, oh, I get to go be a part of a ministry. Wow. Yeah. That makes it all, it's like it's all about us. That's not what that's about. It's about Jesus. No, I said, he's going over there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I asked him, I said, your name? I said, what's your name? Emmanuel. He said, you know what that means? He said, yeah, it means God with us. I said, all right, are you going to live up to your name? Are you going to live up to your name? Your name says God with us. Are you going to show people that God is with you? How do you show people that God is with you? You step out in faith in what this word says in love towards the person in front of you. It's that easy. But I don't know what to say. Oh, join the club. I mean, if you step out by faith, I mean, it's not like beforehand, it's like imprinted, you know. Okay, here's the pre-printed sermon for today. I was sitting back there going, Lord, what are we going to do today? And he said, you know, have Scott preach. Well, I thought that. And then I was like, well, and he said, have Robin preach. I'm thinking, okay, I'll have Robin preach. And Scott says, well, maybe you won't have any time left for you. I said, well, maybe. Praise God. I said, just preach what the Lord gives you. Don't be concerned about how long or short it is. All right, just preach what the Lord has for you. So I get up here and I had no idea what we were going to do. So look, it's not pre-printed. I haven't looked at Isaiah 40 in probably 8 years. I mean, I don't know how long it's been since I've looked at Isaiah 40. It's been a long, long time. I was looking at, oh, there's some interesting things in there. Cool. But you follow what I'm saying? I mean, it's not about that. It's the Lord will work with you if you want to serve Him and love the person before you. He will work with you. You may, as Smith Wigglesworth said, you may start in the flesh. Weather's kind of nice, you know. Yep, weather's kind of nice. And stuff like that. How you doing? I'm doing all right. Praise God, you know. And you start talking with somebody, and then things begin to open up. And if things don't open up with somebody, don't break a crowbar out and break them while you're trying to open up. Just leave them be and go on. Don't worry about it. It's not like every situation you are continuously in is just one of, wow, that was exciting. That was awesome, man. Sometimes they just want to know, how do I get to a gas station? There's one right up the road here. Just continue down. You'll see a couple of them, okay? All right. You know what I mean? I mean, we get all hung up about trying to be important, trying to be all this different kind of stuff. We don't listen. We don't hear. We don't care. You know what I'm saying? Look on the things of others, not just yourself. And so as even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail, but they that wait upon the Lord, He might renew their strength. I mean, it's just possible they'll find that they'll get their strength back that they need to do. No, it says shall. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's going to be there. But it's not going to be there so you can do what you want to do. It's going to be there not because you feel it 30 seconds before you open your mouth. You can feel like going to sleep right then. You can be feeling crappy. You can be feeling miserable. You can be feeling sad. I don't care what you were feeling right then. If right now you'll step out, you will renew your strength. The Lord will be with you. You follow what I'm saying? None of the other things matter. They only matter because you think they matter, not because He thinks they matter. Right? Only because you think they matter. And so we put up all these things to justify ourselves in not doing it. All right? And then what we do is we make idols out of others who do. So that then we can justify ourselves and somehow they're different than us. There's no difference. There's no difference. God is not a respecter of persons. He is not a respecter of persons. So, we'll do some more songs here. But just remember that. Love is a verb, not an adjective. He doesn't care how you feel about him. I mean, and this is sadly, if you want to get down to it, what you're going to find is that basically the church, when I say church, I'm not calling it the body of Christ. I'm calling it in the sense that people consider church out here, is that I go to some ministry on Sunday, maybe Wednesday, maybe Tuesday, what have you. What they're talking about and what their songs are about and what their lives are about is an adjective. I love you, Lord. I love you. And they're utterly worthless and can't get up and do anything. But I love you. They think that's going to save them. It ain't going to do diddly. It's not going to do diddly. If you love Jesus, then do as he says. That's action. Amen.